We had visitors several times a week. It was sometimes people we knew or just someone asking for directions. One summer, when I was about 10, a great big touring car came into the ranch. A man got out and asked my dad if he could fish in the river. Dad says, "Okay, Gracie will show you where the fishing holes are down in the bend of the river." So I waited for him to get his fishing tackle out of the trunk of his car. And when I saw what he had, I just about fainted. He brought out a tackle box that was huge, that had layers and drawers in it of every kind of fly, hook, bait, leader, line, and gadgets that you could think of. He asked what to fish with, so I picked out what looked like a Royal Coachman fly and told him that would do. Claude and I tied a few of those over the years, but I had never yet seen the amount of fishing gear and equipment that was in that tackle box. We walked down to the bend of the river, and he talked to me all the time. He asked me my name and all that, and then he told me that he lived in Hollywood and that he made movies. I guess I asked him what movie he had been in. He told me that he had been Captain January in a movie with Shirley Temple and that his name was Guy Kibbe. I had seen the movie, so I was quite impressed. He did catch a trout, and when we walked back to his car and put his things away, he thanked me for taking him fishing. Then he reached in his pocket and gave me a quarter. Well, that was a lot of money in those days. I then told him that I also had a brother and a sister, so he gave me two more quarters. I look back now and wonder where I got the nerve to do that. I just didn't think it was fair to get that money for something that turned out to be so much fun and not have Claude and Mary Jean get in on it. Guy Kibbe made several movies, and they were fun to see, having met him that time. Another time, a large car came into the ranch, but he was expected. His name was Irving S. Cobb, and he was a writer of short stories and of a book or two. My grandpa had taken him bear hunting years ago, and he came back to visit with him. They sat out on the front porch. My mother and I made Toll House cookies and homemade ice cream just for his visit. We brought some out to him, and he looked at it and said, "I'm not supposed to eat anything sweet. I have diabetes. But just give it to me. It looks too good to pass up." And he ate it all. A little while later, my nanny goat came up by his beautiful big car and jumped up on the running board, up onto the hood, and up on top the roof, and stood there looking at us. I was mortified to think that she might scratch his car. But he just shook with laughter and said he would never forget his visit to WP that trip. Irving Cobb was a wonderful old man, and he wrote about the bear hunting trips with Grandpa in earlier years. Somewhere I have that story. One summer, late in August, a plane ran out of gas and landed in our rye field. It was just a single-engine plane, I think. The pilot and another person came to our door and asked to call Redmond to get some fuel brought to them. So that meant they stayed for a while. Well, curiosity got to Claude and me, and we wanted to see the inside of that plane. Do you know those people wouldn't let us in? I thought that was very bad manners when they had landed in our field and needed our help. Claude may have gotten in later, but I know I didn't. I have never forgotten that. It was just a small thing to ask of them, and they turned us down. Oh, well, it was still exciting having a plane land in the field. We also had yearly visits from the Irish sheepherders. They came every spring on their way south for grazing and would stop off at the ranch overnight. They camped in the upper field, and Dad would let me go with him to visit them in the evenings. One time, we got to eat with them. Sometimes they would leave the male sheep, bucks, with us to keep until they came back in the fall. Dad would let them graze in our upper field. When the bands of sheep came by out on the road just east of the ranch, you could see the dust rising long before they got there. There would be hundreds of sheep in a band, and I'm not sure how far south they took them, but think it was a good 60 to 75 miles from our place. We had a small band of sheep that we kept at the ranch. We would shear them once a year and sell the wool. I think it probably brought in $100 or so at that time. I was allowed to pick up the scraps of wool that were left over, put them in a gunny sack, and then I could either sell them for money or get a subscription to a magazine for the value of the wool. I know I got magazines, as that was the best deal, I thought. That was important to have a regular delivery of magazines to keep up with the world. I know we got Collier's, Reader's Digest, National Geographic, Saturday Evening Post, and other women's magazines that I can't remember at this time. I got one called We Wisdom, and I love getting some mail just for me.